Brother Jim is going to pass out some outlines to you. These will be the outlines for today, possibly tomorrow. And then Wednesday morning, the Lord willing, we'll pass out an outline on my forgiveness of my sin. As I told you last night, I planned this week to preach a series on forgiveness. 6 months ago, the Lord laid on my heart this series. And when the Lord did, I kind of talked to the Lord about it, didn't you? I think you understand that. I said, now, Lord, I've already preached part of this in different sermons, but there's no need of talking the Lord out of what He's talked you into. You just can't do it. If God's in it, you may as well go ahead and do it. So I said, all right, and He's laid on my heart to outline it, and it is a brief outline, and portions of it are for you to write notes in, and you just will do whatever you want to do with it. But this one is on God's forgiveness of me and deals with two things, God's forgiveness of sins and God's forgetfulness of sins. But then, the Lord willing, Wednesday, the outline on my forgiveness of myself is a basic truth that allows us to have liberty and freedom. So I told you last night, it's easier for me to believe that God will forgive me than it is for me to be able to forgive myself.
Right.
That's difficult. But I want to thank God that it's possible not only to have God's forgiveness, but to be able to forgive yourself. And so I think that'll be helpful to you. Because God gave it to me at a time when I needed it. Then the last 2 days, we'll speak on others' forgiveness of me, and then last on my forgiveness of others. I know when I was saved, and you're probably the same way, the forgiveness of sins was the most precious of all that God did for me.
Amen. That's right.
In fact, if He had done nothing else than forgive me my sins, that would have been sufficient.
Right.
You know, I'd rather have my sins forgiven and live the Christian life till I die, even if there was no heaven, than I had to have my sins with the guilt and shame in which I lived and tried to cover those sins, always hoping they wouldn't surface. But, oh, folks, you can't keep your sins from surfacing. And with sins come shame and guilt until the Lord removes them. So I want to stand and say today that I'm living a forgiven life through Calvary. And that's the preciousness of it. So you look with me here, if you would, please, in the outline, and you can go ahead and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Now, we've started the outline with some passages of Scripture from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, which say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, notice the rest of the verses, which begin with who, and tells you what He did. And the first benefit is who forgiveth all thine iniquities. A man who has his iniquities forgiven knows how to bless the Lord with all his soul.
That's right.
Now, if God hasn't forgiven you, you don't know how to bless Him and give Him glory. I have a benefit of forgiveness that's worthy of praise. What God does for you is so real and precious that your soul magnifies Him for His worth. He's worthy to be praised. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, Matthew 9, verse 2, and the major section is in the first, God's forgiveness of my sins for this verse, but I wanted to place it here by way of introduction to show you that Jesus can forgive sins. And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. I love that. Be of good cheer, He said. This is a man that leapt through the roof, who had the palsy, hopeless and helpless. And Jesus said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now look at Luke 7, verses 47, 48. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same that loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. I want to point out two or three things about this. First, you see the multiplicity of her sins. And Jesus says that all of her sins are forgiven, which simply means no matter how many sins an individual has, Christ can forgive you of all your trespasses and all your iniquities and all your transgressions and all your sins. There's not a sin he cannot forgive. So you say, preacher, I have too many sins. I remember I was in South Carolina in a meeting, and we had a young lady came to the altar on Saturday night, and we counseled with her an hour and a half after everybody was gone. It was about 11:30 when we took her to her home, and she had wept until I thought she couldn't weep anymore. She was lost, but just could not get saved. After we dropped her at her home, the pastor said, I want to tell you about this young lady. Said she has known the depths of sin. Said she has lived wicked and lived a vile life, even as a teenager. Said she lives with the condemnation and guilt and shame of this life. The next morning when we came to the service, she came to the altar again. And when the service was over, I lost sight of her. And I looked over in the choir loft, and over between the pews, lying on the floor, was this teenage girl. So we went over and counseled with her until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And at 2 o'clock that afternoon, the Lord Jesus forgave her of her sins and washed her as white as snow. As we left the building, she was walking by with the pastor's wife, and I overheard her say this, I just didn't think he'd forgive me. And I want to say something to you. Whether you think he will or he won't, or he can or he can't, he can forgive you of whatever sins that are there. And he can take the vilest and the wickedest and the sorriest of all sinners and cleanse them and lift them out of a mire of clay and set them upon a solid rock and establish their going and let them live a forgiven life. That's our God, ladies and gentlemen. He's able to do it.
Right.
But, you know, there was a verse that this verse bothered me. It said, to whom much is forgiven, the same that loveth much. And to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And it sounds like Jesus is saying that those who are out in declared sin and know the depths of Satan can love the Lord Jesus more than I can love him. I take it as it says it. It is true many times that a man who has known the depths of sin loves the Lord Jesus with a love that's indescribable. But do you know what he's saying? See, I was at one time a personal sinner. I was a personal sinner. In other words, I had personal sins. Now, I didn't have some sins that others had practically. I haven't done some things like I never have gotten drunk before in my life. My daddy was a drunk. And when I saw what liquor did to daddy, I didn't want to touch the stuff. I hated the stuff. I despised the stuff. But I didn't have the personal sin of drinking. And I've never been on drugs. At least not illegal drugs. I take the other kind, the medicine. But I never know what it was to get high on drugs and know the depths of those sins. And there are other sins. But if Jesus is saying that those who've been on those can love him more than I can, then I have the need of going out and committing these sins. But that's not what he's saying. I was not only a personal sinner, but I was a potential sinner.
Right.
Now, a potential sinner means that I have the same nature that anybody else has. And I have the potential of being anything that anybody has ever been. Well, if I have the potential of being anything that anybody has ever been or will be, that means I am as they are. Do you understand that? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He has pinned us all or corralled us all in unbelief that it may have mercy on all alike. Well, if all have sinned, one sin is as bad as another sin, and God forgives all sins, and any sin that any person has ever sinned, I could have sinned. So that when Christ forgave me of my sins, He not only forgave me of my personal sins, but of my potential sins. You say, what do you mean? I mean, I see myself as anybody else. I see myself as a drunkard, though I was never a drunkard. And that drunkard got forgiveness of his drinking, and I got forgiveness of the drunkenness that I could have been and could have had. Do you see that? What I'm saying to you is this. I can love Him as much as anybody else when I can see what He saved me from potentially. Thank God I don't have to go and involve myself in the depths of sins. I was in the depths of sins. And I can love Him as much as anybody else can, as long as I know what I could have been as well as what I was. Amen? Thank God. You don't have to go out and commit the wickedness and the iniquity of this world. Just see yourself as everybody else, and you'll love Him much. You'll love Him much. Sometimes I weep over His forgiveness of me of what I could have done. Have you ever wept over His forgiveness of you, of what you are? You say, preacher, I never could have done what these folks have done. Don't you know it's what you are that caused you to do what you do, and not what you do makes you what you are? That's right. This world says it's our environment that corrupts us. Put man in a perfect environment, and man will be perfect. No, you put man in a perfect environment, he'll corrupt it, because he's corrupt by his nature. So, a man is a sinner by birth. He's a sinner by nature. And his nature can produce any sin that has ever been conceived. And some that hadn't been conceived yet. And every man has the same nature. So, potentially, one's as vile and wicked as the other. And when Christ forgives a man of his sins, that man can see that forgiveness and love Him much. Here was a woman that had known personal sins. Not just potential sins. And Jesus said to her, the multiplicity of thy sins are forgiven thee. Go thy way. Some didn't like it, but Jesus forgave her nonetheless. Now let's look at God's forgiveness of my sins. We'll consider first the power to forgive. There are four truths in God's forgiveness. As you see, the power to forgive, the provision for forgiveness. Then third, the preaching of forgiveness. And fourth, the preciousness of forgiveness. Let me tell you the story that is here. I mentioned it earlier in the introduction. In Luke chapter 5, there were four men who brought one man upon a bed. When they arrived at the house, they couldn't get the man in the house because of the press of the people. And they went upon the roof and let the man down into the presence of Jesus. And in verse number 20, it said, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, why reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose before them and took up the bed whereon he lay and departed into his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. When Jesus was baptized, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. That was the anointing of the Spirit for his threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. Jesus for 3 years was a prophet before he died on the cross as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Jesus preached a message of forgiveness. When they let the man down through the roof, Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And an Old Testament prophet always had a message and a miracle. His miracle was a verification of his message. Now, don't miss this. Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." You didn't see anybody jump up and down, hoot and holler. You didn't see anybody shout. You didn't see anybody say, "Glory." All you saw was criticism. Criticism. You know why? They missed the miracle. The miracle, the greatest miracle, is the forgiveness of sin.
That's right.
But they missed it. They missed it. You know why? They wanted a physical miracle. Give us the physical miracle. Give us the physical healing and we'll shout. Same thing true today. You know where the crowds are? Find the healing lines. Find the healers. Find your charismatic movement. And you find them getting excited and glory and praising the Lord and shouting and lifting up hands over physical healing. You say you belittle in physical healing, you better, you know better. But Jesus said, "Son, my sins be forgiven thee." And all they did was say, "Who can forgive sin but God only?" He's the only one to do that. What's so exciting about that? They wanted to see the spectacular. Now, I like to see the spectacular, but I found what the spectacular is. He said, "What's the spectacular? The forgiveness of sins. Because nobody can forgive sins but God alone." And then somebody asks you, you say, "Yeah, I got born again. Glory to God." And they say, "Oh, so you got born again?" "Yeah." "Well, that's not too hard." And then you let somebody stand and say, "Well, boy, I got cured. I got healed of heart trouble, physical heart trouble." And somebody says, "Glory to God, isn't that great? I'd rather have my heart cleansed from sin than my heart changed in physical healing."
That's right.
But we got it all backward, folks. Jesus performed his miracle, but his miracle was only a verification of his message. Now, don't miss this. Are you listening to me? Nod your head. Some of you are. You get it? Nod your head. You don't? Just shake. But listen, sometimes we come to church and we're expecting a supernatural, spectacular display of physical manifestations. When the greatest are the spiritual. Jesus said in the message, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But they were critical of that. Now listen to what he said. Look at this. Underline it. Circle it. Put parentheses around it. Place brackets around it. Where he said, "But that ye may know." Verse 24. "That ye may know." He's fixing to perform his miracle. He's going to show you why the miracle of physical healing is displayed. He says, "I'm not just healing the man because he has the palsy." He said, "I'm going to heal him that you can know something." Amen? He says, "I want you to know this, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He says, "I want you to know that I got the power to forgive sins, so I'm going to heal the man to show you." Now, did he heal the man because he needed healing? Or did he heal the man to show us he got power to forgive sins? He healed the man to show us he has power to forgive sins and also to give the value of, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He said the forgiveness of sins is so valuable that I'll perform the miracle to let you know I can forgive men of their sins. And what he's saying, the greater miracle is the forgiveness of sins. And I remember when he forgave me of my sins. Glory to God, folks. I remember living with guilt and shame of a past life. I used to lie in bed at nighttime with guilt. And guilt's a terrible bedfellow. Did you know that? Guilt won't let you sleep half the time. And all these old sins would come up and come up. And if I'd have had the money to give some psychiatrist or psychologist, even if he could have done it, I would have given him all the money I had, what little that was, to have had my sins forgiven. And folks, Jesus forgave me my sins that Wednesday morning when he saved the soul and washed my guilt and shame away. And I haven't gotten over it yet. And then somebody said, that's not too hot. That's the thing. I didn't get too blessed by that. What you've got to have to get blessed? You want to see a man that's hopping around, all of a sudden his leg gets straightened out, and you're going to shout over that? I tell you something better than that. And that's a man that God saves and makes his walk right spiritually.
Amen.
Yeah, and in our circles we say, not much going on. That's the reason I can't stand these folks during invitation time when they're saying, putting on their coats, not anything going to happen today. What are you expecting to happen today? I tell you what you need to expect, and that is God to forgive a sinner of his sins. Waiting for a sinner to walk down the aisle and unload his sins and say, Jesus, forgive me. And Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's the greatest miracle there is, folks. That's the greatest miracle there is. The miracle of forgiveness. And Jesus said, that's my message to you. But said, I'm going to have to perform the miracle so you'll believe my message. You won't even believe my message if I don't put the miracle on it. But the miracle is only to verify what I say. And I'm glad that's true. Thank God this morning, folks. That is the truth of the Word of God. He said, but preacher, what do you get out of it? I tell you what I get. First of all, if I'm, who can forgive sins? Says God alone, and Jesus was God. Amen?
Amen.
I found out the answer to, what does he want me to know? He wants me to know that he has power to forgive sins. Remember the word I told you last night? The word exousia. The word ability is the word dunamis. But the word exousia is the word authority. Well, here's the word exousia. The word authority. Now, you won't appreciate that unless you know that Jesus says, I have the authority on earth to forgive sins without the permission of anybody else on earth. You know what that says? That says that a drunkard could walk in this tent, come here, fall on his face, and Jesus could forgive him of his sins without your permission. And he could forgive him of your sin even in the midst of your rejection and rebellion. I mean, you could rise up and rebel and throw the man out, but Jesus, go ahead and forgive him of his sins. Yeah.
Right.
You take a harlot like the woman at the well. Had five husbands living with a man who wasn't even her husband. And Jesus taught her the gift of life. Well, the whole city of Samaria, Sychar, could have arisen and said, we won't allow this woman to have her sins forgiven. And Jesus would have said, I can forgive her and you can't stop me. I love that. Jesus said, I want you to know that on earth, I have power to forgive everyone who come to me. If you come to me, he said, I'll forgive you. I'm glad that today in this tent, you can come and kneel here at this altar and unload your sin, and Jesus said, I forgive you. I don't need the permission of your husband. I don't need the permission of your wife. I don't need the permission of your parents. I don't need the permission of anybody else. I have the power to forgive sins. So the first point here in God's forgiveness of sins is that Jesus has the power to forgive. And he has it within himself. God the Father gave it to him. God the Father has it. And we have it in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, now, let me just say this. We have a day in which we live where we have spiritual priorities misplaced. We need to get back to where we place more emphasis on spiritual forgiveness and spiritual new birth than we do on physical healing. and physical manifestations. I know it's not very popular in this day because everybody wants something they can see. But if you can see it by faith, you'll see a greater miracle in the new birth and forgiveness than you'll see in any other sphere, in any other area. And I'm glad that Jesus can forgive them. And we have magnified the lesser and minimized the greater. And when we start magnifying the greater and minimizing the lesser, then everything's going to be in their proper place. I'm not belittling physical healing. I believe in divine healing. And God heals. But He heals whoever He wants to heal. But if He doesn't heal you physically, He can heal you spiritually. And the spiritual healing is greater than the physical.
That's right.
But see, this is a burden of my heart. Because we're living in a day when people come to church and they say, not much is going on. And their sinner can come and have his sins forgiven. And we don't get too excited. Dear friend, if we get back to spiritual priorities, that's the most exciting thing can happen in this temple. You just let one sinner come and have his sins forgiven, and you have the miracle of the ages. That's what Jesus is saying. Said, this is it. Said, this is the greatest message I have for the world. I can forgive you of your sins. I have the power to do it. And nobody can stop me. I now notice the provision for forgiveness. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Of course, we have it here in your outline. If you just want to hold it here, that's all right. But Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And notice what He said. And this is the provision for forgiveness. Through whom, and this is the question we have on our outline, through whom do we have the forgiveness of sins? According to Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all the believers justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Acts 26, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So that His provision is through the sacrifice that He gave. Forgiveness was always through atonement in the pages of the Old Testament, if you'll read the book of Leviticus. They had to come and give their offering, their sacrifice, their bullock or their lamb or their dove or whatever they gave. And through the substitute and the atonement that He purchased, they had forgiveness looking forward to the Lord Jesus. And we have redemption, the Scripture says, through His blood and through His sacrifice, I can have the forgiveness of my sins. Jesus not only has the power to forgive sins, but He has made the provision for sins to be forgiven. See, Jesus didn't say, you come with your provision. He said, I have made the provision. Thank God I don't have to go to the herd and pick out a bullock. I don't have to go to the flock and pick out a lamb. The Lamb of God has already been provided. So there is the power to forgive, and there is the provision for forgiveness. And the provision is Christ Himself as a lamb. Right now, notice the question that we have here. For whose sake does God forgive sins? Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I love the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 said we've been accepted in the beloved. I remember when Rachel and I were married. You know, I kind of sprung Rachel on my mother and daddy. You have to understand my mother and daddy love for their son. My mother's in a nursing home now, but she always called me her baby. You have to appreciate that because she's 5'5", weighed 120. Looked up at me and I'm 6'5", and weighed none of your business. My daddy was only 5'6". I guess the Lord just wanted to reverse his 5'6" and give me 6'5". But I have a sister. She's 20 years older than I am. And I was, might say, an only child being brought up. And I was the apple of my mother and dad's eye. And, you know, they're darling, their baby, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And boy, I mean, there wasn't anybody like me to them. I mean, they had good insight, you know. I mean, boy, you know, they want me to be somebody. And they want me to have the right person, all this. And And they didn't even know about Rachel. I kind of kept her a secret there for a while, you know, because I met her at college. And finally, one day, I came in, and my mother saw me sitting over there, and she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm going to get an engagement ring." "But, son, you don't hardly know that girl." I said, I know her. I know well enough. It's all right. "Are you sure, son? Are you sure?" "Yeah, I'm sure." "Now, son, you need to think about this a while. Don't you need to go with her for it? I've gone with her long enough." "It's none of your business how long I went with her either. I don't make such a killing good counselor on how long to wait. But I waited long enough, amen." It's lasted 26 years. Going on 27. But she says, "Now, son, don't you think you ought to wait a while?" I said, "Mom, I waited long enough. I know this is the one I want. This is the one I'm going to have." And she said, "All right, I hope you know what you're doing." I said, "That's what I do. That's all right." So I got the engagement ring. I gave it to her. And when we got married, my mother and dad accepted it as such, you know. I mean, you know, but they, like I said, they didn't really know her any more than what I'd taken her over to the house a few times. And after we got married, came back off the honeymoon. I really know how mom and dad is going to act. But when I brought her through the door, my mother and daddy looked at me and looked at Rachel. And her mother went over and hugged Rachel. Now, I won't ever forget what she said. She said, "Now, Rachel, I want you to know you're our daughter, just like Charles is our son. And our house is your house, and our food is your food. And as long as we got anything, you got anything." Now, I want to ask you a question. Why did they do that? Because of her? No, they did that because of me. She was accepted in the beloved. I was my daddy's beloved and my mother's beloved, and they accepted her in the beloved. And when they accepted her in the beloved, they gave to her everything I had. Well, I was accepted in the beloved by the Heavenly Father. When I accepted Christ, I was accepted in Christ.
Right.
Oh, and you know why I had my sins forgiven? For His name's sake.
Right.
Jesus said, "Father, I want you to forgive her of her sins." And Jesus had my sins forgiven by the Father for His sake. Hey, I can't brag on myself. I can brag on Jesus. I've been accepted in the beloved and forgiven in the beloved for His name's sake. For His name's sake. Jesus just sprung me on the Father. He didn't do it. The Bible said that before the foundation of the world, He loved me. Hey! You didn't get saved by skin of your teeth. Jesus provided for you. He provided for you. And then sent the Holy Ghost for you. And in Him accepted you. And in Him forgave you. I'm like old Mephibosheth in the Old Testament. He could sit at the king's table for Jonathan's sake. And glory to God, I'm forgiven for Jesus' sake. The devil says, "You don't have any right to go to heaven." Yes, I do. For Jesus' sake. Because see, the forgiveness of sins doesn't magnify me. It magnifies Jesus. Doesn't magnify my provision, because I didn't have any. I had the sins to be forgiven, not the provision of them. You say, "Who are you going to brag on?" I'm going to bless the Lord, oh my soul, for all His benefits.
Amen.
Oh, what you need to see is His provision. Now, the question is, on the basis of what do we have forgiveness of sins? Number one, repentance. Look at Luke 24:47, where He said, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And then, redemption. Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood in the forgiveness of sins." Now, redemption is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24, "being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Redemption is through His blood. Redemption was obtained by Christ through His high priest office, Hebrews 4:12, "neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Sin is put away by the sacrifice of Himself, Hebrews 9:26. "For then must we, He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Only one sacrifice for sin avails, Hebrews 10:28. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Once your sins are forgiven, ladies and gentlemen, they're forgiven for His name's sake, but they're forgiven forever. God never changes His mind about what He changed His mind. God never changes His mind and puts my sins back on me because Christ suffered for my sins, died for my sins, and removed my sins from me.
Right.
Now the question is, how far does God remove your transgressions? Psalm 103 verse 12 said, as far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions from us. Where does God cast our sins? Isaiah 38:17 said, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But Thou hast in love in my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for Thou hast cast all my sins behind Thy back. Micah 7:19, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. And then look at the preaching of forgiveness. Luke 24:46-47, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins to be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The word for remission means to send away. You see it there in your outline. It means to separate the sinner from his sin, and send away from him his sin. For sin to be forgiven, it must be repented of. Let me say something else here that's a burden of my heart. We're living in a day when people come and join the church and go right back to their sins. We call it easy believism. I don't know what you call it. That's when they're trying to leapfrog over repentance toward God. But there is no salvation without repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And a man deceives himself who believes he can be saved without repenting of his sins. There is no remission where there is no repentance. And we're living in a time when folks can come and join the church and go to live like the devil and call that baptistic. That's not baptistic, as Brother Harold said in one of his sermons. Friends, that's just sin. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Holiness, Catholic, whatever you are. A man will never get saved till he repents of his sins. You can't have sin separated from you or you from your sin that you hadn't repented of. See, you don't hold on to sins and being separated at the same time. God cannot separate you from that of which you're attached. If you're not willing to loose yourself from them, He can't loose them from you. He will not take them away from you. He sends them from you when you turn from them. And a man who hadn't turned from them can't have them remitted.
Amen. That's good.
He said, well, I want the remission of my sins. Well, you can't have remission without repentance. And that means a change of mind about your sins that constitutes a change of direction. He said, preacher, I repented. Yes, you did. And when you did, He forgave you of your sins and sent your sins from you. Hey, praise God. I want to tell you something. Your sins didn't die. You died to your sins. You say, but I thought He sent them from me. That's right. He forgave you up. But sin's still sin out here in the world. You can go back and do the same sins you had before. That's when you died, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the separation came as a result of death. Brother, I died to my old sins. I died to my old way of life. There came a new change inside of me. As one colored preacher said, there came a new liver inside me. That's right. But listen, this separation that came because there was repentance of sin. And remission is in the redemption of Christ Jesus, in the sacrifice, and believing what He did upon the cross was for you. And the Holy Ghost made it practical, and it became a living experience. Your sins were gone and cast into the depths of the sea, and God remembered them not. Then here's simple truth. No sin can be remitted that has not been repented of, and no sin will be repented of that has not been reproved. Reproved is John chapter 16. Then forgiveness means to give up. Now I want you to notice this. We're going to be through here, these next two truths. Forgiveness, which is a part of remission, means to give up the wish to punish or to get even with. See, when God forgave me my sins, He does not carry any desire to punish me and put me in hell. The thing I regret about some folks is they say they forgive you, but they still have a wish of vengeance. And they want to get even with you. Well, not God.
Amen.
I mean, God doesn't have any desire to punish me or to get even with me. I'm guilty of the death of His Son. But He forgave me through His Son. And He doesn't have any desire whatsoever to get even with me or Neither does he have any hard feelings toward me. When I go into his presence, I don't feel the grief of God. I don't feel the heaviness of God as God's resentment toward me for what I did to his son. But the simple truth, he gave his son so I could have forgiveness. And so the resentment could die. And it means to give all claim to, not demand payment for. And then forgiveness is a work of grace, the expression of mercy, and it's given because justice has been met. Then look at the last, the preciousness of forgiveness. Romans 4, 7 and 8 saying, blessed are they whose sins are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Turn with me to Romans 4 just for a moment. I want to show you one other verse that I didn't put here. Romans 4. Look at verse 1. It said, what shall we say then that Abraham our fathers pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David describeth the blessedness. Now here it is. Even as David describeth the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessing, and it goes, this blessedness, he goes ahead and talks about the circumcision, the uncircumcision. But look down at verse number 24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now he describeth the blessedness, the preciousness of forgiveness. For the person that God forgives, not by works, but by grace, has a blessedness, a preciousness inside of him of sins being forgiven. You ask a person who's saved how his sins were forgiven, he'll tell you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But who's the blessed man? Now look, what he said, blessed is the man. Who's the blessed man? It's not the man who's trying to work for his forgiveness. You know, it's a crowd who believes in works for salvation. They're the most miserable of all human beings. Now, they come to services in their churches, and they jump and hoop and holler. But you get them out here in the world. I remember I lived right across the street from a lady who was a Church of God. Elderly lady. She came over to our house many times. She was so miserable. She says, I just hope I don't do anything to lose what I got. She did. She'd bring her hands in our home. I just hope I'm coming down to the closing years, and I hope I just don't do something to lose what I got. She didn't have any preciousness. She didn't have any blessedness. Man, all she had was misery. I hope I didn't do anything. You know, oh, I hope I don't lose. Hope I don't lose. Hope I don't lose. But you take a child of God, been forgiven by God, everything rests on the provision of Christ and knows his sins are forgiven. And righteousness has been imputed to him, not by works, but by grace. You see a blessed individual because he's shouting on the hills of glory, so to speak. And man, he's jumping up and down saying, thank God, thank God, thank God for forgiveness. I'm glad that this morning the forgiveness doesn't change. And I'm glad that everlasting life is mine because God saved me. But you talking about precious folks. That's the man whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. 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 God just covered him. He washed them away. Covered. Washed them away. Washed them away. And you're going to see in the next section, which is God's forgetfulness of sins, what God forgives, he forgets. He forgets. He forgets. He forgets. You say, well, what does it mean to forget? You'll see. But let's suffice this morning to say this. That if God forgot my sins, then he can't remember any sins to call to my attention. Therefore, this preciousness in God's forgiveness, precious this morning, are those whose sins are forgiven and covered and washed away, and it's all in Christ Jesus. I'm grateful today for God's forgiveness of me. But you see, I may stand before you and you don't know whether they're forgiven or not. When I stand before God, my sins are forgiven. And when I quit standing before you, my time comes to an end, I'm going to go stand before God.
And I'm glad because of the provision of Jesus, I'm standing in God's presence with my sins forgiven.
Amen.